It's me again, Hank the Cow Dog. Who would have ever thought that Slim would quit his job on the ranch and leave? Not me. Pretty sad, huh? I mean, Slim and I were special pals. We'd spent years working together on the ranch. I never would have dreamed, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Where were we? Oh yes, the beginning of the day. Morning. It appeared to be a normal morning in December. Cloudy, cold, gray, wind blowing out of the north. Drover and I were sleeping late that morning when all at once my ears shot up and I was awakened by the sound of a door slamming up at the house. Do you realize what this meant? Maybe not, if you're not a dog. Scrap time. If you're a dog, very few moments in the history of this world have more meaning or importance than scrap time. It gives purpose and direction to our life, fills it with meaning and hope. And so it was that, upon hearing the slamming of the screen door, I came roaring out of a deep sleep, leaped out of my gunny sack bed, cranked open the outer doors of my eyes, and shouted the news to Drover. Hurry, Drover, it's tinted feathers, and they all weigh a ton. By that time, he had joined me in an upright position. Who? What? How many? I don't know, Drover. I didn't have time to count them, but 2,000 feathers weigh a ton. We stared at each other. What did I just say? I don't know. Something about feathers. I think that's what you said. I did not say anything about feathers. Oh, okay. Maybe it was me. Of course it was you. And I must warn you not to talk about feathers. He yawned.
How come?
Don't yawn while I'm speaking to you.
Sorry. Yeah, I just woke up.
It gives the impression that you're bored.
Not me. I just woke up.
You already said that.
Oh, sorry. I'm liable to say anything. I just woke up.
I glared at the runt. That makes 3 times you've said that.
I'll be darned. I must have been asleep.
Of course you were. If you just woke up, it follows from simple logic that something woke us up, Drover. Something very important. What was it?
Well, I heard a bunch of feathers.
Feathers? How can you hear feathers?
Well, I don't know. I can't hear them now.
There were no feathers, Drover, except the ones where your brains ought to be.
Maybe that was it, because I'm almost sure I heard them.
You did not hear them.
That's what I meant. I didn't hear any feathers, and maybe that's what woke us up.
Could be, although... Wait, I've got it now. I had just heard the screen door slam up at the house. Do you realize what this means?
Well, let's see. Someone came out of the house.
Right, keep going.
Someone came out of the house through the door.
Good, excellent, keep going. Put your clues together. What do they add up to?
Well, let's see here. 5?
No.
10?
We're not looking for a number.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to add up all my clues.
No, I wanted you to follow your clues and tell me why someone came out of the house.
Okay, I'll get it this time.
He rolled his eyes and twisted his mouth around. I could see that the effort of concentrating was taking its toll on him.
12?
I walked a few steps away and tried to clear my head. I've always tried to help Drover, to bring him along and teach him the security business, but sometimes I'm not sure he can be helped. I returned to the spot where he was sitting. He gave me his usual silly grin and began wigwagging that stump tail of his. Drover, let's go back to the beginning. Review your list of clues. Don't count them. Review them and follow them to a logical conclusion.
Well, let's see here. Clues. Door. House.
All at once, his eyes popped open.
Oh my gosh, Hank, Do you reckon it's scrap time? Excellent. Very good, Drover. At last you have... He vanished. 1 minute he was there, and the next he was gone. I made a dash up the hill and caught up with him. Drover, wait! We're not finished with the lesson.
Halt! Stop!
He stopped. Yeah, but it's scrap time. I know that, and congratulations on figuring it out. But you forgot to make the last step in the procedure.
I did?
Yes, you did. Don't you remember? After putting all the clues together and coming up with the right answer, you have to return to the gas tanks and touch base.
I do? How come?
Because that's the way it's done. You have to touch base to restart the system.
I'll be darned. I didn't think of that.
I gave him a fatherly pat on the shoulder. That's why I'm here, son. To remind you of things and to help you along. Now, go tag up.
Okay, and what'll you do?
I'll, wait here and cheer you on.
Okay, here I go!
And zooming down to the gas tanks. I gave him one loud cheer and then, hurried up to the yard gate to check out the scrap business. It proved to be pretty interesting. I was pleased and excited to see little Alfred standing on the back porch. I was even pleaseder when I saw the plate in his hand. I made my way to the yard gate, sat down, and shifted into a routine we call loyal friend waiting patiently for scraps. I knew it would work on the boy. We were the best of pals, don't you know, and he had always shown excellent judgment when it came to giving the scraps to me instead of to his mama's precious kitty. Pete, that is. Pete didn't happen to be in sight at that moment, but I knew it was only a matter of time until he showed up. He always showed up when he wasn't wanted. Throw a picnic and the flies will come out of nowhere. Show up on the back porch with breakfast scraps and Mr. Kitty Moocher will come slinking out of the iris patch. But if we hurried this deal along, maybe there wouldn't be anything left for him, or for Drover. And so I turned up the urgency knob and caught the boy's attention. He saw me and waved.
Hi, Hanky. Want some scraps?
Oh, yes, please. I hadn't eaten in months. Okay, hours. I hadn't eaten in hours, had shrunk down to skin and bones, and was in desperate need of food. Anything, just any little morsel he could spare, such as, well, juicy, fatty ends of bacon, a piece of fried egg white, a scrap of toast sopped in egg yolk, just any little scrap he happened to have on the plate. He came toward me and opened the gate.
Come on in the yard, Hanky, and we'll play catch the scrap.
Well, maybe that wasn't such a great idea. I mean, I loved playing catch the scrap with the boy. We'd played it many times, and I had proved myself to be one of the best scrap catchers in all of Texas. But Sally Mae, his mommy, had rules against dogs in the yard. It was a silly rule. Also terribly unfair to us dogs, but I had no wish to get involved, so to speak, with Sally Mae first thing in the morning, or any other time. Alfred grinned, tossed a glance over his shoulder, and whispered,
Mom's inside, feeding my sister. She'll never know you came into the yard.
Huh, was he kidding? Sally Mae knew everything. She had radar. She had eyes in the back of her head. She had STP, PDQ, whatever it is, when you know things and see things that others don't know or see. No, as much as I would have enjoyed playing catch the scrap in the yard, he shouldn't have held that piece of bacon in front of my nose. I have very few weaknesses, very few clinks in my armor. But bacon held up in front of my nose is one of them. It seems to melt my iron discipline and turns me into something. A robot who can think of nothing but yummy bacon, I suppose. Alfred knew that, but he did it anyway. He held that bacon in front of my nose and lured me through the open gate and across the line into Sally Mae's forbidden yard. I couldn't help myself. The bacon vapors filled my nostrils and took control of my mind, and I had no choice but to follow that bacon wherever it led. He had duped me, tricked me, used my weakness against me, forced me to break the first rule of ranch law. And when he pitched the bacon into the air, I snagged that rascal and gulped it down. No dog in history had ever enjoyed breaking the law more than I had. And as far as I was concerned, we could play catch the scrap for the rest of the... Huh? I heard a creak as the back door opened. My ears flew up. I froze and found myself staring into Alfred's eyes, which had grown big and round. Then I heard him utter some shocking words.
Oops, it's my mom.
I knew it. I tried to tell him. She always showed up at the very worst times. She had radar for naughty thoughts. A dog wasn't safe on that ranch until she went to town. And even then, a guy couldn't get over the feeling that she was still there, watching and listening and lurking around the next corner. In a flash, I transformed myself into Rocket Dog and flew back across the line, struck a calm, relaxed pose on the dog side of the fence, and worked my face around so that it showed, well, mild surprise on seeing her come out of the house, delight that she had decided to join us, and above all, perfect innocence. I gave her my most sincere cowdog smile, as if to say, oh my goodness, it's Sally Mae, my very favorite ranch wife. What a pleasure it is to see you this morning. Alfred and I were just, well, doing nothing really, just listening to the chirping of the birds and enjoying the beauty of the morning, so to speak. Nothing else, really. No kidding. She saw us at once. Her eyes speared me. She came down the sidewalk toward us. Alfred had begun to whistle and was looking up at the sky. I studied her face to see if our program was selling. I couldn't tell.